In Pakistan this morning, triple bombings have killed 35 people and wounded more than 250. Pakistani officials say two attackers detonated explosives during a Muslim religious ceremony, and a third bomb hit 20 minutes later.
And let's talk more about that with Jill McGivering. She's the BBC's Asia editor, and she joins us from Islamabad. Jill, the attacks that we just John just talked about, these triple bombings, are these actually the Taliban making good on their threats to disrupt aid efforts in the country after flooding?
I think at this stage, the answer is we're not quite sure. I understand there has been some claim of responsibility from one of the main Pakistan Taliban groups, but it's always difficult to verify those claims. There may well be a sectarian element to this, in other words, Sunni violence against Shias, rather than it being violence against foreigners, but still very early days. And clearly people here are on high alert. There is a lot of tension. There's been a lot of concern about what's been happening here in terms of the security situation and concerns that militant elements may try and take advantage of what has been a quite chaotic few weeks for Pakistan because of the flooding.
Well, you traveled to Swat, which is the scene of the military offensive against the Taliban last year. And one of the things you were there to find out, as I understand, was whether or not attitudes towards the United States have changed in light of the millions of dollars spent to help Pakistans who are victims of flooding. I wanted to play for you this comment to someone that you spoke to, a Pakistani.
Americans are doing good for us, and they are giving great support to us.
And you also spoke with Lieutenant Colonel Joe Allegretti. Here's what he had to say.
When we're flying missions up there, it's nothing but smiles, handshakes, hands over hearts, just gestures of gratitude. I've seen nothing but a positive reaction.
Is this a real thing? Is this a kind of a general, better feeling toward Americans since the relief effort?
I think so. Obviously, it's hard to know for sure. But my sense is that before the floods, whenever I visited Pakistan in the last year or so, there's been a real sense of hostility. People often asking me if I was American and then expressing a lot of anger about the US role in the region, concern that the US had its own agenda and wasn't really respecting what was happening in Pakistan, and a sense generally that the US has pulled Pakistan into a war on terror and increased the violence and the vulnerability of Pakistani people. So generally, I'd say US stock was pretty low. But in a way, one of the strange things that's come out of this whole flood crisis is that the US has taken a tremendous role. It has been very generous. It's been the biggest single donor. And also, it's been very visible. As well as giving lots of money, the US has been very helpful logistically. So in places like Swat, people are very conscious. They are completely cut off from the outside world. They've lost their roads, their bridges. They're basically up there in the mountains with no way of getting food. And their lifeline is US military helicopters, which are going in there several times a day, taking them much needed food, bags of rice and flour and so on to keep them going, and evacuating people as much as they can. So people were saying, we are so grateful. Our own government hasn't done as much as we hoped they would, but the US government has really been a friend in need.
That's Jill McGivering. She's the BBC's Asia editor. Also with us is Suja Nawaz, director of the South Asia Center of the Atlantic Council. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is something that many people talked about as a possibility when the tragic flooding in Pakistan first began. And I'm wondering, what is your response to hear Jill talk about the real feeling of gratitude? I'm wondering if, A, you feel like this is a countrywide thing, or maybe this is only isolated to those areas where they're hardest hits and Americans' presence is the most felt.
I think it is spread throughout the country, but it's such a vast area that's been affected by the floods that it will require a much greater U.S. Heavy lift capacity and visibility for it to really take hold. I think we should recognize that this will start changing attitudes, but only the beginning of a change of attitudes. I think it'll take time to take hold. And what it will do is reinforce the change in the way the U.S. is now providing assistance to Pakistan, through the Kerry-Luger bill, for instance, which is a 5-year effort likely to be extended to 10 years. I think this is the big change from a transactional to what's seen as a consistent, sustainable relationship.
We spoke with you just a few days after the flooding began, and you expressed some concerns that the Pakistani government, which is perceived even by its own citizens as inept and in many cases corrupt, you were worried that the country wouldn't get enough aid because they were concerned that the government wouldn't distribute it well, or that the international community wouldn't do enough to help Pakistan. I'm wondering if those concerns have turned out to be true for you, or you're reassured.
Well, there's some reassurance in the fact that the assistance that has been pledged, and I use the word pledged because it hasn't arrived as yet, all of it hasn't arrived, is close to almost $1 billion now. But Pakistan's needs are going to be tremendous, and they're going to be longer term. And I think this is really where the U.S.-Pakistan relationship on a new footing becomes quite important, because historically, the United States has always provided Pakistan the most assistance when Pakistan has been ruled by the military. This is the first time that the U.S. is going to be such a major aid donor to Pakistan when a civilian government is in power.
Jill McGivering, BBC's Asia editor, I wanted to play you another clip of tape from a Pakistani you spoke to.
Before flood, our population are not like American. After flood, the situation changed.
That's him saying before they were anti-American and now it's changed. I'm wondering if you feel like this is a temporary thing. Is this change in feeling something that lasts only as long as the Pakistanis are in need and the Americans are supplying help?
It's really hard to know, because you're right. In a sense, it feels very immediate. These are people who are saying, we need food, we need it now. Thank you to the Americans. Please send more. We're really grateful. People did also make a clear distinction to me, even when they were saying that they were grateful. And they did say, you know, look, we do make a difference between US policy in the region and the US government's policy and what we see as the US people giving generously to us. Now, obviously, you could say it's the US government that's giving the aid, but I think that they saw that a bit differently. They saw this is very much a person-to-person thing, and they were saying we're really grateful to American people for helping us. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be pleased about U.S. policy in the region, though, in the future.
Well, let me go then to Shuja Nawaz and ask you, what advice would you give to the government, U.S. government, on how to make this a positive move towards better relations with the Pakistanis?
I think they should stay the course. They have a plan for a longer, consistent relationship, and they should try and tap that reservoir of goodwill that does exist in Pakistan, according to the Pew poll, where 64% of Pakistanis want improved relations with the United States.
Room for hope between Pakistan and the United States. That is Shuja Nawaz, director of the South Asia Center of the Atlantic Council. We also spoke with Jill McGivering. She's the BBC's Asia editor. She joined us from Islamabad.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.